European languages, so they fish and they go hunt and fish. We make a lot of trips back to the reservation from Seattle. I was born and raised in Washington when my dad worked at Boeing, but we spent a lot of, there was a lot of unincorporated areas. My dad took us fishing and hunting. You know, that's on the weekends, that's what we did. So my other cousins, they would go to powwows, but we would go hunting and fishing. And I think because of that interest, you know, now thinking back in my family history, I think that's one of the reasons why I got involved in forestry. And then also when I was 2 years old, they started taking me up. Our family vacation was huckleberry picking. It was actually a working vacation. We were either picking huckleberries or picking peaches, so my mother would do canning. And the interesting thing, that's what, in the beginning when I was 2 years old, when I was 5 years old, it was the first time that I went the sweat lodge was also up in the mountains. This was up in the Sawtooth Mountains in the Gifford Pinchot National Forest on the Cascade Crest between Mount St. Helens and Mount Adams, where the Indian berry fields where they had the handshake agreement. So every summer we would go up there and there was the Indian encampment. The biggest encampment was the Yakima's Moses family. It was at Cold Springs, so we went up there every summer to pick berries. And that was forestry to me. Like when I was 5 years old, forestry was picking huckleberries, setting up camp, the teepee poles, getting firewood, and the sweat lodge that we were. My mother's side of the family was Catholic, and then my father's side of the family was Presbyterian, so we would go to two churches. And then there was sweat lodge, you know, tribal spirituality. So in a sense, I had almost like three churches, three religions when I was growing up to understand. And going from huckleberry picking, from what I understood, and the one interesting thing that when I think back in my career was how much even up there at the huckleberry camp was playing sports for the kids, for the Yakima kids. You know, we would play sports. And I wasn't, and then when I was going to school and the University of Washington was trying to recruit, this is during the Civil Rights era and part of the American Indian Movement era, the University of Washington was responding to some of the rioting that was going on, and they were incorporating their equal opportunity program that came to our school to recruit minorities, and fortunately in the fight, I had a high enough test score and grade point average. I went to the University of Washington. I went to the University of Washington, was a 76 killer, an Indian quarterback at the University of Washington. That was one reason why I picked the University of Washington, because I was so involved with sports, and I played rugby at the University of Washington. It was almost sports was whether I was going special ed was something I was thinking about going into for some, you know, that I got involved in special ed, working with a special ed aide in high school. I would work there. I didn't think I had enough math background. I got a D in geometry when I was in 9th or 10th grade, so I stopped taking math. But then when I went to the University of Washington, they helped out with the remedial courses. I actually did well in the remedial courses, but I started picking up math, and then I was able to get a job at the University of Washington, worked with the city of Seattle and their watershed, like North Bend, and Washington Cascades, and I was, and the city of Seattle also was responding to the diversity. This was 1974, and I was hired on the fire crew. I was able to be part of the fire crew, and I think it wasn't so, when I got involved with the fire crew and learning about forestry, that it almost what attracted me, like being on a fire crew, it's almost like sports, that there was a team. Now, I didn't look at forestry as an individual, but when I got involved with the fire crew, I thought of back to sports again, building teams and that type of thing. So I think that's almost what attracted me more than the forestry part. But then as I worked with the fire crew, we started to do inventory work on the scale. It was 100,000 acres. surveying work up there in the watershed, that math, you know, it was actually applying math and putting lines on the ground and seeing roads actually being built and bridges designed. And that's where I really got my interest in forest engineering. And like, University of Washington was like one of the leading places in forest engineering, so that's when I graduated there. And then it just happened that the Yakima tribe was calling, you know, or the Doyle Curtis, the surveyor at the Yakima with the BIA, called University of Washington looking for, they were looking for any forest engineer. They didn't even, you know, if there was an Indian engineer, that was unheard of back in those days. And so they were, had a double bonus, not only finding, you know, a forest engineer that was interested in coming to the Yakima, but actually it was a tribal member, you know, that was interested in coming. But I had worked 4 years with the Seattle Water Department, working as a fire guard and a technician there, before going, getting involved with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and basically worked in the rainforest and then coming to a dry, you know, pine forest. You know, it was like going to heaven, working in such a dry, beautiful place, sunshine every day, and then working with the tribal members on a survey crew again, going from this fire crew to working with a survey crew, and then it was just really interesting. You know, even the same tribal members, when I talked about the Yakima tribal members at the Huckleberry Camp when I was growing up, I was actually working with those same, you know, instead of the kids, we were all growing up. Well, I was 24, so we were still young, but the Moses family was a family I remember, but then a lot of our survey crew was involved in sports, so it was like our teamwork was work, you know, with surveying, working and laying out roads and doing those things, and then going from the work atmosphere of a team that we would play sports, basketball, and softball, and those things. So, and I guess being involved with sports, and it was like I became a reluctant leader. even when I was on fire crew, whether I was tribal or not, I became a crew boss there. On my 4th year, I was a crew boss, you know, that whatever credit I, you know, whatever, you know, you got higher pay or it was a promotion, but I was fortunate enough, I guess, to do a good job that they made me a crew boss in my last year there. And then the interesting thing back in the, you know, graduating in 1978, that there really wasn't any personnel skills. You know, they talked about the old forestry, you measured trees and did that type of thing. There was zero personnel or people skills. You know, that when I started to be a crew boss or a supervisor with the BIA, I knew I had to deal with public speaking. So I went back to Yakima Community College to take speech 101 because I was afraid to talk to people. I was a person in the back of the class who didn't want to talk ever. But then when I got into this role of starting to be the crew boss and supervisor, I said, I'm going to have to figure out how to talk to people because I hated it. But then now I'm just the, almost the opposite way where I can't stop. You know, but that's the odd part of it is, and I'm looking at my family history of my grandfather being a preacher and my family being a storyteller. You know, nobody told me that. It just kind of came out when I started doing, you know, starting with a speech class. And the Yakima, working at Yakima, like I said, it was like going to heaven. It was very production oriented. 100 million board feet a year was what was coming off of Yakima. And because we were working 6 days a week, and there was more work than you know what to do with fires, you know, that there was opportunity to work on the weekends on fire details. So being a young person, you know, I didn't have a family at the time, so it just like, like I said, it seemed like I was in heaven working there. But then the interesting thing, I started working across the boundary, was the Wenatchee National Forest, and the road engineers, we would work together on different types of similar projects, and I started noticing our budgets were different. The BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs budget was the Forest Service, and here I think I was probably 26 tribes, there was things I was starting to see. Like the tribe that used their own, the tribe that used their own stumpage money, that 10% of the stumpage receipts go to back to the forestry program, but they're using their stumpage receipts to pay the BLM for surveying. And to me, that didn't seem right. The BLM has their trust responsibility. How come they're not using their money to do surveying on tribal land with these individual allotments? That, and I was 26 and 20, I start thinking, why is it this way? And then that's what I was asking my supervisors, and kind of the only way you can get involved is with policy. And I was never, you know, when I was starting out, I was always interested in just working in the woods. But then the change thing, you had to get involved with policy, but it might have taken me quite a while to become a manager and get involved in management there at Yakima because it was so large. But then there was an opportunity, the forest manager's job became open at Umatilla, where I'm enrolled at. So I thought, well, I could go back. I worked for my tribe. But I said, you know, that's kind of the idea. And so I went back. I didn't have any management training at all. It's just like when I went to be a supervisor, there wasn't any public speaking. I went to be forest manager when I was 29 years old, back with my own tribe. And I had no management, budget, personnel, record keeping. I just kind of jumped off the cliff to do it. And I did, at the time, I didn't realize it. And then I started thinking, at 29, and I looked around, and there wasn't any training for, you know, there was supervisory training in fire that was given, and some leadership, but that was just for fire, but there wasn't anything for, you know, a 29-year-old to get involved with. And we had some, then when I was 20, I started to see one of the issues, or as I got involved with management, it was always the people issues that were key with management. And there were some contract and personnel issues that Umatilla I was able to resolve. You know, the contract was going to go to default. The tribe was going to lose $300,000 if this timber sale contract wasn't going to go through. And the tribe was using this money, this $300,000, as collateral for another tribal project, this grain elevator that they were doing back then. It was like their first major project, and I was always getting a phone call from the tribal treasurer, you know, how's the timber sale going? Is it going to go to default? Can we count on this $300,000 for this other tribal project? And as a 29, 30-year-old, I didn't realize what I walked into, you know, how complicated this was. But lo and behold, you know, I survived, and we were able to get the contract done. And it was somehow with the Bureau of Indian Affairs regional office, they helped me a lot. Other, you know, talking with other managers, and tribal managers, tribal people that came before me, talking with them, they helped me out, survive that. And then once I was successful with that, then the Spokane manager's job became open. That's where my mother grew up. So I said, well, I could go work with my mother's side of the family. So I went up there, and lo and behold, there was personnel issues up there, contract issues. But I was able to resolve some of those the next go around, and successful. And it was a great place to work, and the tribe, you know, working a lot of them. I went to school with my mother. You know, that was what was really fun, talking with elders that went to school with my mother. And then also seeing the difference between the two cultures. Yakima and Umatilla have a similar language and culture, but then the Spokane, it's inter-Salish, and there's different cultures and traditions, or even how the religions are viewed up there. So living that, and one of my daughters was born down where Umatilla, and the other two daughters were born when I was up at Spokane. So the kids got to experience that, and also fires. The Spokane tribe had never had a big fire incident with a fire camp and extended, and they had been around, like I said, since my mother was born, since 1910, and it was 1988. I started to kind of go back, I started at Yakima in 78 to 84, and then from 84 to 86, I was at Umatilla for 2 years with my father's tribe. And then from 86 to 80, 1994, I was up at Spokane. One of the things that they wanted to do was to start Cohorts of Thank you. in a sense, help our own people, you know, in a sense, how do we and how do we tell our story? Because tribal members are good storytellers, but we're not good at telling our story because of the historical trauma part. You know, that's the that I see the younger tribal members. They want to talk about it, but they go so quickly. You know, but it has to be done. You want to do it in an inspirational way. You know, a hero's journey. You know, type of thing. Not negative, but it has to be our own people telling the story, understanding the historical trauma of why it's that way.
Doing now is like when I with Big Brothers, I'm also involved. Uncomfortable. Well, I think they felt comfortable because 50%
Some